Let me share this reading with you, and then we'll share my thoughts around it today. When Jesus heard what had happened, he withdrew by boat privately to a solitary place. Hearing of this, the crowds followed him on foot from the towns. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them and healed their sick. As evening approached, the disciples came to him and said, "This is a remote place. It's already getting late. Send the crowd away so that they can go to the villages and buy themselves some food." Jesus replied, "They do not need to go away. You give them something to eat." "We have here only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, they answered. "Bring them here to me," he said. And he directed the people to sit down on the grass, taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke the loaves. Then he gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the people. They all ate and were satisfied, and the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces that were left over. The number of those who ate was about 5,000, besides men and children. Again, it's probably a very familiar story to a lot of you. I'll tell you why I sort of felt led to that story. It's partly because the other day we did our alternative Halloween. We always try and put something on as a bit of a positive alternative on Halloween night. And we decided this time to show this film, show the film The King of Kings. And a number of you came and saw it. It's a really good film. It tells the story of the life of Jesus from his birth to his resurrection. It goes through the story of the life of Jesus. It's an animated film, and it's Charles Dickens telling his son the story of the King of Kings about Jesus, and they kind of go into the story and come out of it and interact into the story. And it's great sometimes when Jesus does things that, particularly the son of Charles Dickens, his amazement is like, wow, and you kind of get this whole, it just feeds into the wonder of it all. If you've not seen it, I would say you can, I've got a spare DVD, you can get it on some of the streaming sites. It's really good, and it's a really great way to teach children about Jesus. If you've got a child sort of between sort of 5 and 11, it's a great storyteller to give them the life of Jesus. But as we watched, or as I sort of watched it, as part of our alternative Halloween, and I watched the different familiar scenes to me of Jesus's life. There was Jesus walking on the water. There was the story about the possessed man and how he sort of into the pigs and the pigs over the cliffs. There was the story of the stoning of the woman caught in adultery. All those stories were in this animated film and many of the others. But the one that spoke to me again as I sat and watched it for the first time that evening, it was the feeding of the 5,000. And that story is in all 4 of the Gospels in the Bible. And it's a very familiar story, I'm sure, to many of you. This story of all these people coming to follow Jesus, to hear about his teaching, to perhaps receive miracles and things like that. And they're sat. And then eventually it gets a bit late and Jesus says to the disciples, you know, what we're going to do. Well, the disciples say to Jesus, what we're going to do. It's a bit late now. We haven't got any food now. And the disciples suggest that they send off the crowd. And Jesus said, no, they can stay. What have we got? And we kind of have this idea that there's 5 loaves and 2 fish. Just one little boy's bought a packed lunch or whatever it is. And then we have this amazing miracle. And when I watched that again, even in this animated film, God spoke to me. I felt it was God anyway. I felt it was that nudge of the Holy Spirit again in my life. And really, the main point that God spoke to me as I watched it again, this familiar story, is this. These are the words that I kind of felt deep down, and it was this. Of course, Jesus had or has more than enough. As I watched the scene in the film, I just felt that inner voice. Of course, Jesus had or has more than enough. You know, most people know the story, don't they, of the feeding of the 5,000. Not all will know that they would only have counted the men. There'd have also been women and children present at that time, but they just wouldn't have been counted. And after following and listening to Jesus, the suggestion is for some time, because it says as evening approached, so the suggestion was they were there for quite some time listening to Jesus, his teachings, the crowd were hungry for food to eat. But how could Jesus feed 5,000, perhaps even 10,000 plus people with the women and children? And then we just have this very simple miracle of five loaves and in two fish. And in Matthew's gospel, in Mark's gospel, in Luke's gospel, it says these words, they all ate and were satisfied. In John 6 verse 12, John's gospel, it just says this, they had all had enough to eat. Just get your heads around it. And when I thought about that story, in my mind, I linked it to the story of the Israelites wandering through the wilderness. We looked at this story again during our Bible course. During that time, God's miraculous provision for them through manna and quail for over 40 years. God providing physical need. You know, we have a God who cares for all of us. And when you say that, you can mean that in two ways. God cares for all of us, as in individually. God cares for you as he does me. All of us, all right? Each person, God cares for you. But the other way you can say God cares for all of us is to say that God cares for all about us as individuals. God cares for our physical well-being. God cares for our emotional well-being. And God cares for our physical well-being. God cares for all of us, but God cares for all of us as well. Matthew 6, verses 25 and 34 talks about the birds of the air. Very famous verse again. And in verse 26, it just says this, look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? See, there is always enough, I believe, enough provision with God. You know, we have that little building, most of you know, that little building outside here is our food bank storehouse. It's a big cupboard, basically. And at this time of year, our food bank storehouse is bursting. We have this abundance of food because we have all these school harvests have given in, and poor old Margaret and Pauline are trying to work through all these tins that have come in and trying to get them into date order and all that sort of stuff. And we have this amazing bursting storehouse of food ready and available to give out over these next 12 months. You know, God has a constantly bursting, abundant heavenly storehouse for us, each one of us, to access. He really does. You know, another Bible verse I was drawn to was Matthew 15, verse 30. And I just love the fact that it says, Jesus heals all. Of course he has enough. Jesus has enough. God has enough. God has enough grace. You know what? To forgive all our sins. Do you know that? God has enough compassion to heal all our hurts. God has enough peace to calm all our fears. God has enough joy to meet all our sadness. God has enough power to set us all free. God has enough hope to instill into all of us courage. And God has enough love to welcome us all. God always has enough. And he cares for all of us. I think that was really clear as I thought about this story today, the feeding of the 1,000. Just that voice just spoke to me. again. You know, because you think, how's he going to do 5,000? What about 10,000? Of course he can. He has enough. He's God. He can feed the hundreds of thousands that were walking through the desert for 40 years. He can feed the 10,000 that was present in that place. But he can feed us. He cares for us. He has enough for us. Body, mind, and spirit. But the second thing I want to say is this. God has enough when we need it most. You know, we often talk, don't we, about God's perfect timing. About trusting God who sees a big picture that we don't. In our Bible story today, the crowd were hungry. It was time to eat. So Jesus provided food there and then for them. You know, over the years, time and time again, I have heard so many testimonies of God providing what people need when they need it most. There are so many testimonies, even in this room, of people can say, I can testify to that when I was at a certain place, at a certain point, in my certain need, God was there, and he provided for me. And this is different to what we think we need when we think we need it. But there's been times, many times, when God has given an extra portion of faith to people in a time of struggle. He's wrapped his loving arms around someone when they needed reassurance. He's given them strength to sustain them in their weakness. God has given to people what they need, when they need it most. His timing is perfect. And when I thought about that, I thought of just a few examples out of my own life. And the first one, I don't know if I've told this story before, but it always sticks with me, this example. It's when I was in the youth group in my church back in Harrogate many years ago, about, I don't know, 12, 13 years old, whatever it was. And it was in the days when we used to meet on a Sunday night in somebody's home, in our youth leader's home. We had a large youth group, and we used to sing, but it was the days of the overhead projector. In fact, even more than that, I was in charge of the overhead projector. I was the one that had to panic with the slides and work out there and put them straight to make sure they lined up. Do you remember those days? Happy days. But I remember the overhead projector bulb went. And it was like, oh no, we needed... And I can't remember, I just have in my mind, we needed 30 quid to get a new bulb for the overhead projector. I don't know if that's right, but that's what's in my head. And I can remember praying about this in the youth group. We need a new projector, a new bulb. We need to, because I have over projector and we can't sing Shine Jesus Shine anymore, or whatever, because without the overhead projector. And then it was somewhere after that, my youth leaders let us know that somebody had pushed an envelope through their door, I think the next day. And it had a little note in it, and it said, I was praying last night, and I felt God wanted you to have this. And there was 30 quid in the envelope, just the right amount. And it always stuck with me, that. Always stuck with me. God has enough just when we need it. I thought, it always stuck with me, that story. And wherever it came from, I don't think we ever found out. But we know that it came through God's provision. God provides us when we need it most. Taught many times in church, and Alison has too, about how, as parents, we've been so grateful for God's provision for Emma over the years. Especially providing the right people in the right places. God has been so good at that. We are so fortunate that God has provided the right people in the right place. And he's still doing it now in her current placement at Rochdale Council. Another example for me is... I can remember being interviewed as my role here as pastor. It was kind of an interview, for one, for a better church. It was a bit of a conversation that we were having. And I can remember Mike Fieldsand, who was a deacon at the time, saying to me, how do you feel about preaching most weeks? And I'm like, I don't know, because I was preaching then. But I was part of the Methodist circuit. I was talking to Hilda about this week. And I mean, that means like you put your dates in when you could offer, and you go around the Methodist churches, whether it's Hollins or East Oldham or South Chad or Bardsley or wherever it used to be, Honeywell Lane, all the different churches, and you put your dates in. You maybe get three over what they call a quarter. That's how I, something like that. So you do maybe preach three times, once a month maybe over that quarter. But I'd write one sermon at the beginning and I'd take it round, you know. That, you know, that's what you do. That's what you do. And I used to say, actually, by the third time, it was quite good. And then I thought, but what about coming here when there wasn't that? You know, I would have to preach, and that's what Mike Fieldsend's question was: like, well, how would you feel about preaching on a more regular basis? And I'm like, I don't know. I really don't. It was like, I have no idea what it's going to be like. That it did worry me. 18 years later, somehow, by the grace of God, he's provided a message. Some better than others, I give you that. But some, and I still have that Monday morning, that little bit of a, just that, not fear, but just nervousness sometimes. I'll get it tomorrow because I'm on a two-weeker, so I'm on next week as well, if you don't want to come. But so tomorrow morning, I'll know. I haven't got a message yet. I know I'll wake up in the morning, and part of my Monday morning preparation will be to sit with God and say, hey, God, Sunday, where are we going? Let's get the Bible open. Let's have a chat. But there's that little bit in me. But I know. But yet he has provided words for me to share over those years. I thank God for that. Just another example. Last weekend, the daughter of some good friends of ours got baptized. We couldn't make it. So because we couldn't make it, one or two here did go, actually, because they know them as well. But I couldn't make it, and Malison couldn't make it. So we went round and we took a card and we said to them, could you send us, because I know they'd videoed the baptism and her testimony, so we wanted to hear it. So we said to her, could you send her this girl's testimony and her baptism? We'd like to watch it. Can I just say that there was a time when this girl, to be honest with you, had a little bit of a wobble, a bit of a past. She didn't always have a smooth ride. But as part of her testimony, she read the words from Footprints. You know the poem? When we look back and we see that when the difficult times, there was one set of footprints, and it's the time when God carried us. And this girl said these words: I can look back now. In all those years, I thought he wasn't there. He was. And he did carry me. And I am so grateful. God just being there, giving what we need when we need it. And I can remember praying for this girl, especially when she was a bit wayward, and praying with the parents of this girl. God, would you just hold on to her? Would you keep her safe while she's in a bit of a wild mode? And he did. And then the other week she got baptized and she proclaimed her faith in Jesus Christ. He's the way maker. Even when we don't see it, he's working, isn't he? God has enough for us, and God has enough when we need it, most. And then finally, God has enough for us to give away. You know, in our Bible story today, Jesus instructed his disciples to give out the food to the people. 24 hands were better than two. And we are called today, as Jesus' disciples, to be the many hands, to be the vessels, to give out God's goodness and provision into this world. Come on, we used to sing, didn't we? Freely, freely, come on. You have received freely, freely give. Come on, let's up the volume. Go in my name, and because you believe, others will know that I live. Freely we receive, freely we give. you know, there could be a train of thought that if we give away, if we use in some ways our godly resources, if we share them with others, then there might be less for us. If I give it away, because that's what would normally happen, if you give something away, you've got less. I was at the Altrincham Garrick Theatre the other night. Alison's friend was in a production of Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. What's the most famous sweet that he makes? Yeah, some people have said it. The everlasting gobstopper. It never runs out. It never runs out. And I thought to myself, there's a story in 2 Kings 4 with the prophet Elisha, and he meets this widow. And he and she's trying to feed a family and the village. And God says, have you got some? And there's this little jar of oil that she has. And the prophet says, pour it out as they're making the bread and thing. And it just keeps filling up. As they pour it out, it just keeps filling up. As they pour it out, it just keeps filling up. It's never ending. It never runs out. And that's the way with God, you see. As we give away, we continue to receive even more. We don't get less when we give away. We get more back. It's never ending. It's everlasting. There's always more. God has enough for us to give away. And in our story today, it was also noted, did you see it, that there were 12 baskets of food left over. What did we talk about? Significant numbers, Ernie. 12 is a significant number. Why was 12 a significant number in this story? Well, I'm not sure. Yeah, there were 12 disciples, but I think it was something different. 12 baskets represented what? The 12 tribes of Israel. Do you remember? Israel is made up of these 12 tribes. That was the people of God. And I think with these 12 baskets left over of food, once everybody there, the 10,000 plus, including men and women, have eaten and were satisfied and had had enough, I think these 12 baskets were very clearly illustrating and shouting out, I have enough for all my people. All my people. That's what Jesus was saying. I have enough for everyone to provide for all. And it never runs out. And if you give it away, there's always more. There's more and there's more. God has enough. So before I finish, I just thought I'd touch on this. How does God provide? How does he provide? How does the stuff, if we want to call it that, if we want for a better term, come from God's heavenly storehouse to you and me? How does it get here? How do we receive it? And I had this kind of, firstly, I had this image of like angels, a bit like God's Amazon drivers. You see them? It is crazy, isn't it? Even on my little close, how many times these Amazon sort of lorries turn up. And I can imagine these kind of, God's like angels, like these God's Amazon drivers, plowing around all over the place. But how do they get called upon? How do we get to receive God's stuff? Well, I think the first thing is prayer. Lee talked about prayer last week, the importance of prayer. The Bible says, ask and it shall be given to you. So we need to come before God in prayer. And as we meet with God in prayer, as we create that space in prayer, as we pour out to him in prayer, then I think that opens the doors for God's heavenly storehouse to be open to us. I think God provides in his presence. I think that's why being in fellowship is so important. That's why being in worship, especially collective worship, is so important. It's often a place where things happen. As we meet in his presence collectively, then often God gives from his storehouse. Perhaps that's why one of the reasons we often might feel a real battle even to get here. I think that's one of the reasons. Some people say, oh, I didn't come to church today and it felt a bit of a battle and I got up and I got distracted and I got things. I think it's because the enemy knows that this is a place where the storehouse will be open to you, and the enemy doesn't want people to receive what goal that God has got for them. So he tries to keep them away from places where they might receive, fellowship being a key one of those. How does God provide? I think he provides mysteriously and miraculously sometimes. A bit like my overhead projector money. Mysteriously and miraculously, somehow God was at work and he provided what we needed for a new bulb for the OHP. I think God provides through circumstances and guidance. God orchestrates stuff. We often say, we keep saying, don't we, there's no coincidence with God. He works his way. He works his plans through the circumstances of our lives to provide for us when we need it, what we need. And God provides through people. God provides to us from him, to us through other people. Acts is a great example of that, isn't it? That's this family that needed uniforms for their kids because their kids didn't have a uniform to go to school. And yet God provided through his people the storehouse God opened and that family have been blessed and encouraged by receiving. Come on, God. Thank you, God. Let's not avoid our common sense. But God provides in all kinds of amazing and wonderful ways. And he loves providing. And he's got more than enough to provide. So the question has to be, as we draw in, as we worship again, and perhaps just have a short time in prayer together today. The question has to be, whatever you need right now, I want to say God has more than enough. He does. So what do you need at the moment? What do you need physically at the moment? What do you need emotionally at the moment? What do you need spiritually at the moment? Because God cares for all of you, and he cares for all of you. What do you need? But I believe the storehouse is here. The storehouse is ready to be opened. It's abundant. It's overflowing. And God loves to give. God's angels of Amazon are ready to flow. Might you flow to us in this place today? What is your need? What do you want? What's your heart's desire? What is your struggle? God has more than enough for each one of us, for all of us today. So we're going to sing. I picked the song, Your Grace is Enough, today. Remind us that God's grace is enough to forgive all our sins. God's grace is enough to welcome us all because of his love today. So let's stand again and proclaim those words together. I think to just not have an opportunity just to receive, just to ask for God. Whatever, I don't know what your need is today. I don't know where you're at with things. But just let me read those things again. God has enough grace to forgive all your sin today. If you're feeling that you've messed up, God's grace is overpowerful, abundant. God has enough compassion to heal all your hurts. If you're hurting today, God's compassion is towards you. God has enough peace to calm all your fears. If you're anxious, fearful, maybe the things that are going on around you at the moment, God has enough peace for you today. God has enough joy to meet all your sadness. The world robs of us joy all the time. And we get down and we get sad and in our hearts. And I pray that God will just bring some joy towards you. God has enough power to set you free. If you have an addiction or if you are gripped with something that's not healthy, God has the power to set you free in this place today. God has enough hope to instill into you courage. Courage is not just being Superman. It's just having the courage to take the next step, to go again, to wake up tomorrow and say, come on, I'm going to go again. God has enough love to welcome you all. He knows you. He knows all about you. He knows what you've done, what you've not done. He loves you. He does. And he calls you to him. God always has enough. And he cares for all of us. I wonder what you would love for the God's angels, Amazon's angels, to deliver today into this place. Not next day delivery. It's instant delivery. You don't have to pay extra into the offering pot. Into the contactless payment section. It's freely available. Freely you gave it all for us. Freely. And I just wanted to have that opportunity for people just to receive. And I don't know what it is you want to receive. And we're not going to talk to you about it. We're just going to pray, because God's Amazon and angels is the Holy Spirit for me. And he comes and he blesses and he gives and he pours. And it may be something of that, and it may be something else. So what I want you to do is, I would like everyone, if you would, to stand, or if you're able to stand, if you can. Can you stand? Is that all right? If you're able to, if you're not, don't worry. And what I'm going to do today, just that we've done this before in a different way, is in a second, if you'd like to receive something, if maybe as we've been worshipping, as we've been listening to the words today, you think, oh, that's what God, for me, please. Would you open your storehouse for that? Then we're going to pray for you. But the way we're going to ask you to do it is, I'm going to ask for those that want to specifically receive, and we're not going to talk to you, we're not going to do anything odd, we're just going to, and I also felt as we do it, there may be some people that want to represent somebody else. What I mean is, it's not for them specifically, but your prayer is that God would open your storehouse, particularly about something, for somebody that you're caring about at this moment. Maybe they're not well, maybe they're struggling, I don't know what it is. So for those specifically that would like to receive from the storehouse of God's heaven today, then what I want you to do is to sit down. So if that's you today, just sit down. Okay, if you'd like to receive today, particularly for yourself or for somebody else, all right, just be seated, okay? And then what I'm going to ask to do, for those that are standing, I want you just to go and stand near somebody who's sat down. So I want, if you can, and I want you just to put your hand on their shoulder as a sign that you're there, because we're going to pray for them. And so the idea is, if somebody sat near you, just put your hand, we're not going to talk to them, you don't have to counsel them, I'm going to pray. And then we're just going to pray, because God knows what he's doing and he knows where we're at. So hopefully somebody's got some connection somewhere. There's a lot of people sat down, so there's a possibility that you haven't. Well, God's big hand is still on you, even if you've not got a physical human hand on you today. But we're going to pray. Let's pray. Lord, we pray in this place, just in these few moments that we have left together. Lord, would you open the storehouse of heaven with all its goodness and greatness? And would you, where you see the need in your people, would you come? Would you send your Holy Spirit? Would you send your Amazon angels? Would you bring your forgiveness, your grace, your healing, your peace, your power, your joy? Whatever it might be, you know what's in our hearts. Would you meet our hearts today with your presence? Would you come, Holy Spirit? And if you've got your hand on somebody, just quietly under your breath, not loud, just quietly pray for that person. If you know their name, pray for them by name. Just pray that God would just give to them in this place again today, that they would receive again today something of you. Come, Holy Spirit, we pray. Fill us with your goodness. Lord, give us hearts to receive today out of your abundance. You've always got enough. You care for all of us and all parts of us. You give us what we need when we need it. Come, Holy Spirit. I pray that those who are calling upon your name now, that they would just receive. Lord, not a tin of beans or a tin of tuna, but they receive your love again, your healing power. Come, Holy Spirit, we pray. Bless us and encourage us. You've always got enough. Come, Lord Jesus, pour it in. Come in power. Come on, Lord. Set people free. Bring healing. Restore hope. Give courage. Cleanse. Thank you, Jesus.
Can I just say
this, sir? Just a minute.
Wait.
Just a minute. I just want people to receive, Ernie. Just let them receive. Just for the moment, just want to be quiet, let me see, let the Holy Spirit just come. We love you, God. We just receive, we just open our hearts to you. Come and touch us, body, mind, and spirit. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. We welcome you in this place. Your grace is enough. Your love is enough. Your joy is enough. Thank you, Jesus. We welcome you here. Lord, may today be something that changes in us, that takes us out slightly different, and fill us all that we might receive to give out to this world, that we might be your hands and feet, your vessels for the goodness. Because you've got enough for everyone. You've got enough for our neighbours. You've got enough for the rest of our families. You've got enough for this broken world. Send your church out to receive in your name. To give in your name. That your kingdom would come. That your glory would fall. Your fame would be exalted. In Jesus' name we give thanks. Amen. Please be seated. What do you want to say, Ernie?
David, this morning you said, what is the greatest thing? What comes to your mind about the number 12? And you said, what was in my mind? The 12 tribes of Israel that were formed by King Solomon, a wonderful king, the son of King David, a wonderful king. And